Good morning. I think we had a wonderful song service, and appreciate everybody's participation, and appreciate our visitors, Ken and Salita Holcomb from Borger. Glad to see y'all, and Charlie, good to see y'all. See you. Glad you're back with us. I got a text from my cousin, James Baker. He said, there's going to be some members of the Borger Church there. Will you tell them to behave? So I shared that with Ken, and Ken said, or Salita said, say Salita did good, but we had to put Ken on the back row. So take care of him, Salita, if he acts up. You know, that last song, brother, you may be asking, what's he doing up there again? Where's the brother Richards, you know? Brother Richards was scheduled to be here, but y'all know how his schedule can be sometimes, and he gets called away, and the church in Perryton, I believe, wanted him to come and do a special service this weekend, and he seemed led by the Lord to go up to Perryton. You know, Perryton's a long way from here. You can't get there. You have to go all the way to Borger, and then you're only halfway there. It's just a long way up there. It's maybe not that far, but anyway, keep him in your prayers. And I talked to Elder Ed that was with us last week. We had a wonderful service, and I had to talk to him about his sermon. He preached about where are you casting your net, and he was referring to the apostles as they went out into the water, and he told them to cast their nets on the other side, and there were fish. And y'all, most of you heard that sermon, and the Lord knew where the fish were. And I called him up. I said, brother, I've been thinking this week. You're talking about where are you casting your net? My question is, do we have a net to cast? Do you have a net to cast anywhere? What are you doing with your net? Do you have a net? Of course, the symbolism is he told the apostles, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. Why do we fish for men? Do we want to take men and turn them into something, you know, by our power? No, we don't. But we want the Lord's people, the saved of the Lord, the people that have been saved by his grace through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those people, we want them to come and hear more about that salvation that they have. You know, there's people out there that the Lord has dealt with. I believe just as sure as I'm standing here. If there's as many people as the Lord has told Abraham that will be in heaven, his children, then there's got to be a bunch of them out there that are not primitive Baptists. Amen? You know, they got to be. And they're missing out. What are they missing? Are they missing out on eternal glory and destiny? No, they're not missing out on that. But they're missing out on the joys today. The joy of their salvation. I believe it was the psalmist David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation. He said, he's not saying I fell from grace and now I got to rededicate to myself. I want you to restore that to me that I might be saved again. He didn't say that. He restored unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you ever lose the joy of your salvation? I mean, you know that the Lord redeemed you. The Lord, his blood, his work, his effort is what redeemed us. But sometimes we get down in the pits. Sometimes we get to thinking, you know, I don't know if I am one of his people. I don't know. I'm so sinful. I've made so many mistakes. Nothing's going right in my life. What's going on? Why is this way? The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has turned his face from me. You know, it's not the Lord, it's us. We've forsaken him. We've turned our face from him. And we've lost the joy of our salvation by our transgressions or whatever's happened. You can look at it and it comes back to yourself. Are you serving the Lord in the way that the Lord would have you to do? And it's not a hard thing to do. Well, let me take that back. It is hard to follow the Lord and serve the Lord like he would have you to do. But it's not hard to understand. Do the things that you know that he wants you to do. Stay away from the transgressions of this world. Stay away from the world. Stay away from sin. Is anybody here can stay completely away from sin? Anybody? No, there's not. Because you can't. Sin is in you. It's natural, embedded in you. When you were born, you came out of your mother's womb telling lies. You were sinful. Well, Brother Gary, I can't believe that. A little baby's sinful. Well, we'll have to look at the scriptures because that's what it says. You're born in sin, and in sin you will die. Sin is what brings forth death. But because of that sin that we have in us, the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Ghost, they kind of had a meeting before the world began. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that, but they got together and they said, you know, we see we see man, and we know that man is not going to be able to do what he should do, you know, without us going on their behalf and redeeming them, it's not going to be a good thing. So they made a covenant, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that Christ would come to earth, and he would take on the body of a man. He would be born as a man. He would live a life, 30-some-odd years, be tempted by the Satan, by the devil, but he would lead a sinless life. And that he would be taken to the cross, he would be crucified, he would be buried, and he would rise again on the third day. And he's doing that for not a few people, but a multitude of people man cannot count. And, you know, y'all have heard me say that before. The people of the Lord are like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. I don't have to explain that to you. You've heard me talk about counting sand on the beach, and then you think you're through. Well, you got to get on to under the ocean now, because there's a bunch of sand under the ocean. So how many people is that? Can anybody... gazillion, billion, you know, that's a lot of people. Our mind cannot fathom that. You know, he said, other sheep have I that are not of this fold that I must bring. Was he saying, I've got to send preachers and apostles to them so they can come and be part of my... No, they weren't. As we sang, Brother Stephen asked me about... What song do you like? My book opened up to Lord Revive Us 2:14, and I said, let's sing that. Is this not our prayer today? Savior, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Lord, revive us, oh, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Second verse, keep no longer at a distance, shine upon us from on high. Lest for want of thine assistance, every plant should droop and die. You know, the Lord's church, if the Lord withdraws himself from the church and he's at a distance, all the plants, all the flowers, all of the things that are growing in the church is going to droop and is going to die if we're left to our own mischievousness and ways. And then third verse, I didn't realize that one. That's one I like too. I don't know why they put all these verses in here. I guess it was the part of the song. But surely once thy garden flourished, every part looked gay and green. Then thy word, our spirits nourished. Happy seasons we have seen. We've seen this garden at Midland Primitive Baptist Church flourish over the years, haven't we, Eileen? We have. Happy seasons we have seen. And then we had a dry spell. Things kind of went, what's going on here? And now the Lord is watering again. And the plants are growing. Everything looks pretty gay and green. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot of things, blessings that the Lord has given us. Look around. This is your family. Anybody here that doesn't believe that, I got to talk to you. This is your family. the Church of the Living God. These are people that love you and care about you. I hope you love me and care about me as much as I love you and care about you. Are we taken over by the cares of the world? Yes, we are. More so today than ever. You know, the world can just... I was telling Brother Joe that when I first saw him, he said, "What do you got on your mind this morning?" And I said, "Well, I need to go first because I've been preaching and reading all week and talking." And I said, "Man, I've just been filled with stuff." And I got up this morning and I got zero. My mind is blank. I don't remember anything I was thinking about. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. So I'll go first and make a big mess, and then you come up and finish it for us. You know, make it worthwhile. And I still feel that way. But I do know I love you, and I love this church, and I love the children of God. Because y'all are strong in yourself, and you stood up, and you confessed, and you come running down the aisle, and you said that you wanted God to save you. No. Because the Spirit of the Lord has moved in your soul, in your heart, and planted his love in your heart and given you peace of mind, grace, mercy, and understanding. And you've got that. How do I know you've got that? Because I see it in your face, in your eyes, in your smiles. You're here because you don't want to show off to men. You don't want to please the world. You want to please the Lord. Because why? Because he has given you what he has given you. You know, and I get really frustrated with the world, and I've told y'all, you know, I've got a music store in Big Spring, and we've talked about that, and people coming in there, and a lot of people, but a lot of church people, because the big thing now in churches is their praise and worship bands, you know, and I mean they spend hundreds of dollars. The church that bought the mall that I'm in, they took the end where J.C. Penney's was, and they turned that into their church and their sanctuary. And they spent all kinds of money. I said, "What's your budget for your sound system?" They said, "We can't spend more than $150,000 for a sound system." I said, Why do you need to spend it? "Well, you know, we need to be able to... We want the band to have in-ear monitors, you know, so they can hear real good. We want to put big subwoofer speakers about this high, so there'll be a lot of bass and a lot of sound. And we got to put up a great big screen, you know, so we can put the words of the song across there, and we can do films and stuff." And I said, "That's what we got to do." I said, "Okay, there you go. Money is spent." Frivolously. They think by doing that they're praising the Lord better than the other guy. That's giving them some kind of heads up or a foot up over the other churches in the area. And they always ask me, just about every one of them. You know, Big Spring's not a big town, 24,000 people. But there must be 22,000 churches because there's so many people coming in. There's not that many, but there's 30, 40 churches of all different colors and nationalities and beliefs and faiths. But that all of them ask me, since I'm a retired musician from Nashville, Tennessee, they say, "Boy, you must really have a good praise and worship band at your church." I said, "You know what? We probably have the best. You need to come and see." He said, "What have y'all got?" I said, "Well, we got our instruments are perfect." Perfect? Yes, we use the instrument the Lord gave us. And when we sing and when we utter, the Holy Spirit takes that and translates it and sends it to the Lord, and it's a sweet-smelling savor to him. It's perfect. I said, "Come and see. Come and find out." Of course, that opens up the door. "Well, what are y'all?" "Well, we're Primitive Baptists." "What in the world's a Primitive Baptist?" You've been through all that. So, not knowing what I was going to talk about, I mean, I've studied a lot in Peter, but I'm not there yet. Third chapter of John, we've talked about a lot, and you can go there if you want, but Hear this verse here, and I want you to tell me what this means. He that believeth on the Son hath, teachers, raise your hands, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, you don't have to be a teacher to understand this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Does he get everlasting life when he believes, or did he already have it? Teacher, speak up. Did he already have it? Already have, hath is what? Past tense? Now, that's a scripture pulled out of the Bible. And it's in the same chapter of the, most famous scripture as far as the world is concerned is in this same chapter. And they take that scripture and they contradict what this says. The 16th verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They say, look, Gary, see, if you believe, you have everlasting life. Well, we know if somebody believes on the Lord and Savior, yes, he has everlasting life. He can have everlasting life because he's got it. If you got it, you have it. Am I wrong? It doesn't say will get. If it was will get, it would be will get, right? Will get. But have, he has, hath. And you read the other scriptures one at a time in this third chapter. This is their artillery. This is their ammunition that they use to go at people with. The Jews came to John and said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Well, okay, all men are coming. See, look, all men come to him. This is what it says in the scripture. They're all going to Christ. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I thought that was interesting, thinking about the third chapter of John and the scriptures that are in there and their proof text that they use for man's redeeming himself, man's pulling his bootstraps up and saving himself for eternal glory. I was listening to a sermon from one of our respected elders, and he made the comment that 80% of the Bible is about our salvation and grace and mercy that the Lord has bestowed upon us. 80%. 20% is about, no, excuse me. 80, I got it backwards. 80% is about how we should live our life, how we should take what we've got and live in this world and among each other. 20% is about the grace and love of our Lord. But 80% is about how we should act as beloved children and what we should do, how we should take care of each other. And real quick, then I'm going to get out of Brother Joe's way so he can sweep up here. In Peter, and let's see if I can find it. 2 Peter. I'll give you a minute to get there. Chapter 1. We're going to read the first 8 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. How did they obtain that precious faith? Through the righteousness of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And real quick, you don't have to turn there, but let me... In 1 Peter, Peter, when he starts his epistle, says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Of course, he's talking to the Lord's people. He's talking to the Lord of the elect of God. Second verse, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. As according as his divine power hath given unto us, he's already given it to us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who gave us that knowledge? Did we go to Bible school when we was three? And did this church have a Sunday school class for the little babies? And we started teaching them, giving them knowledge about the Lord. No, he taught that to you himself. He planted it in you. It is revealed to you. You may not know exactly what you feel, or you might not understand exactly what's happened, but it's there. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's beautiful. How are we doing? We're not doing so good, are we? Whereby are giving unto us great and precious promises. The Lord's given us precious and great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped it, but sometimes we slip back into it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, he said, add to your faith. He didn't say get faith. You already have faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Is that correct? You know, go back and read the 10 or 12 fruit of the Spirit. Add to your faith. So you've got faith, but add to that virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, sometimes you have to study, you have to read, learn about the things of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you read this book. Let me tell you, if you sit down and read this book, the Lord's going to show you things that you have not considered. I'm telling you, because it's happened to me. All of a sudden, a light bulb will go off and say, well, oh, I see what that's talking about. Temperance. What's temperance, Brother Chris? You know what temperance is? It's not losing your temper.
No.
Here, Peter's telling the church to have temperance. You get mad, go see your friend and say, hey, friend, I'm mad, help me. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And charity is what? Love. Love is the greatest thing. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be filled with the glory of Christ? Do you want to be filled with the knowledge of your salvation? Do you want to know the things that the Lord would have you to do? Peter's telling you right here, if these things abound in you, they'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What things was that? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Well, that's not losing your temper, right? Mm-hmm. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You're supposed to love your brothers and sisters. We are a family. I started this first that that's what we are. We're a family, and we're to love one another. We are to be forgiving of one another. We sing a song on Wednesday night, and it's a... Let's just look at it, and I'll get out of Brother Joe's way. 554, I believe. And this it's called Evening Prayer. 554. We started singing this in the singing schools years ago. And we thought it was appropriate. My father thought it was appropriate for us to use this as our closing hymn after every evening session and to make us think. Of course, you know how my dad loved the children. He loved to teach the children. So this was a good song for him to teach the children about how you're supposed to feel about things. Let's read it. If I have wounded any soul today, do you ever wound a soul? Do you ever wound one of the Lord's people? You know you do. If I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If you wounded anybody today, caused one foot to go astray, walked in your own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. Now, I know there's a lot of you here that don't have this problem. But for us that are sinners, and Brother Joe, he's so funny, he's always telling me, I say, well, Brother Joe, we'll see you. I hope everything goes well. He says, well, pray for us sinners. That's one of his words, his comments. Second verse. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Have you ever said words that as soon as they come out of your mouth, you wish you could take them back? If you turned aside from want or pain, unless I've got to pay for it myself, Lord, but if it's somebody else, please forgive me. Please forgive. The third verse, I like this one the best. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. You know, we're supposed to confess our sins. It's good if we can confess to each other, but the main thing we need to do is confess our sins to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't have to, if you've got something bothering you, burning in you, that you need to confess about, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell the church, you tell the Lord, Lord, I have done this, and tell him explicitly what you've done and what your sin is. It's just you and the Lord, and he already knows it anyway. But he wants to hear you say it. He wants you to say, I have done this. Because he wants you to, you know why he wants you to say it? That's proof to him that you realize what you've done. That you're sorry for your sin. And you're sorry for your sin because of the love he's put in your heart. But you say, Lord, forgive me. And then it says, forgive the secret sins I do not see. Lord, there's got to be things I'm doing, secret sins, that I need forgiveness for. The last, guide me, love me, and my keeper be, in Jesus' name. If we all could just say that prayer as we go to bed each night or sing that song, or it's a beautiful, beautiful thought. We're all sinners, but we're all saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We did nothing to get it. We did nothing to deserve it. We should be... It says we're a peculiar people. We are. We are a peculiar people. We get to believe that. The world says, well, you're crazy, man. My church says you got to take 73 laps around the football field and holding up a cross and hop on one leg on the last lap around to be saved, you know. Anyway, I don't mean to make light of things. I love the Lord's people, and they're outside that door. They're everywhere. How do we get to them? By showing our love, by showing our happiness. Is everybody happy this morning? How do you show your happiness? You be happy. Can you control the way you feel? Yes, you can. You can sit down and bury your head in the sand and say, I'm not happy. And I guarantee you, you're not going to be happy. But if you stand up, look around and says, I'm happy in the Lord. I love the Lord. I love his people. Who is there among us that I can help today? Who of my brothers and sisters do I need to call on the phone and tell them that I love them and tell them I'm just thinking about you? I challenge every one of you this week. Pick up the phone, call somebody, and just say, Brother Gary said I had to call you. No, just say, I just want to know how you're faring. I know I'll see you Sunday or I'll see you Wednesday night, but I want to know how you're doing today. And carry on the conversation. Hey, something else that would be kind of novel. Get in your car, drive to their house, and knock on their door and say hi. Visit with them. Fellowship with them. Share your love. Share that charity that the Lord has given you. If the Lord has given you something, shouldn't you use it? Or do you just throw it off to the side and say, well, I got this. I ain't got to do nothing about it. No. Isn't that right, JP?
That's right.
If the Lord's given that to you, you use it. You love Brother Patterson here, as we call him. Chris, we've nicknamed Chris Brother Patterson. But anyway, you love. Use what the Lord's given you. Brother Joe, come up here and please talk to these people. Thank y'all so much for your kind attention.
God bless you, brother. Love you, brother.
Yeah, the secret sins I do not see. That's my favorite part of that song, because I often see your faults, you know, because I'm looking at you. But I fail to really recognize my own faults and failures, which are many, and I know that, and I feel encouraged by your confidence that I might say something or that I might speak in a way that things that I'm saying might be understood. And I hope that whatever time that I stay here or stand here, that you might continue to pray for me as I feel I feel unworthy and oftentimes unable to speak like Jeremiah. But that being as it may, this isn't off the. I'm gonna read because I feel and not that Brother Gary wasn't reading. He was quoting a lot of different scriptures, a lot of different things that are in the Word, but there's a particular thought that goes along with the thing that he's gotten into. I'm gonna look at Romans, Thessalonians, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes if I have time. So looking here at the Roman letter in the very first chapter, he starts out. Well, he I'm gonna skip down to the seventh verse and then read a little bit. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart, and that's really the kind of thought that I'm looking at, impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, some might think that this is the gift of healing or the gift of bringing someone back again from the dead. But as we read in Thessalonians, that's not really what he's saying. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Established in what? Established in our Lord Jesus Christ and the works of Jesus Christ, the things that he has done, as he has mentioned. That is, that I may comfort, or that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, and here's the gift, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he wants to impart or give a gift to the Roman church so that they might be established. So that they might be established in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we sang the song, Revive Us Again. You know, sometimes we falter and fall by the way, and we have secret sins, or we neglect to do the things that are wanting, and there are times that we need to be reestablished or established in the truths of the gospel, the very basic truths of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and the things that he has done, that 20% that he talked about. And then there's the 80% that he talked about. Well, let's do this. Everybody pick up a songbook. Now with one hand, don't open it. With one hand, just hold it out in front of you. Just hold it there. And I'll tell you when you can put it down or do something different. But there's a particular scripture over here, and there's the 27th chapter of Proverbs. And I'll read it. Y'all are all doing it, aren't you? Getting heavy? It is getting heavy. Okay, well, go ahead then and put the other arm out there and help hold it up. It'll make it a little easier. And okay, y'all can all put them down. Y'all kind of felt the difference there. And open rebuke is better than secret love. And we had a little bit of open rebuke in the opening here, and the things that the thoughts were discussed that we do, that we don't always follow the instructions that we know. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth in a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And this is a beautiful thought here. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I'm gonna go ahead and skip on down to the next one. And I started to bring a file and a hoe. Like Brother Don's brings every now and then, he brings, but most of you know what a file is, and most of you know what a hoe is. So, but think about this for a second. Iron sharpeneth iron. We all know perfectly well what that's saying. If you take that file and you rub it across the end of a tool or instrument, it those two pieces of steel, that one against the other one, eventually sharpens that other piece of steel, or iron steel. But then the next part of that, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Well, standing alone, and we're gonna read some more of that in Ecclesiastes, but that one iron by itself is not going to sharpen itself. That other piece of iron working with it sharpens it. And the countenance of his friend, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That open rebuke, the friend that openly rebukes you, that calls you out on something. And that's what church, and not in a hateful way, not in a, as he said, we're family. I have three sisters. We all love each other. But, you know, there's times where I have to get on to one of my sisters. And there's a lot of times where they get on to me. So, but that open rebuke, and sometimes we don't openly rebuke one another. And we fail and falter and are not as strong because we haven't gotten onto one another. But that open communication between my sisters and family, and which is what he said we are family. That open, not only rebuke, but that open communication, that open encouragement. You know, there's a lot of times where I'm out and by myself, and there's a lot of problems in my life. And it's encouraging to come here to refresh myself from the world, that I might be encouraged by a friend. It sharpens my countenance. It gives me a little peace of mind and a little comfort from the some of the things that I may or may not discuss with anyone here that are going on in my life. But it gives me encouragement because there's somebody over here that's having difficulty in something, and I can see that they're joyful and they're still happy and have hope and have laughter, and they have that in their life, even though they have tremendous difficulties, and I'm encouraged by that. Now, in Ecclesiastes, in the fourth chapter, and of course, Ecclesiastes, before, I was kind of saddened by it, and if you're reading it, sometimes you can be saddened by Ecclesiastes, but there's a lot of things that, if you think about them, It's really encouraging. It's really gives you some insight into life. It says, "Then I turned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one." And we just demonstrated that a little bit ago with the songbooks, where we took one in our hand and we held it out there, and that arm began to get tired. And then whenever we took the other one and put it on the songbook and strengthened that other hand, that other arm, the burden became lighter than it was when we just had one arm or one hand holding it. Because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it's better to have two than one. What if you had have taken that songbook and two hands and turned to your neighbor and he put his two hands on it and held it up? That burden would have become even lighter. That I might impart, and because that's my central theme, really, because of how the Apostle Paul conducted himself with the churches, because of the way he encouraged the people, because of the way he worked with them when he met with them. So we're going to read here in the first chapter of Thessalonians. In the second chapter, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, so being affectionately desirous of you. And listen to those words, being affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it was, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now I'm gonna stop right there, but the things that we know, the things that we understand, are revealed from faith to faith. If there's anything that's been revealed to me, it was because God, through faith, gave me that understanding. Through the Spirit that He gave me. And that is one of the aspects, or one of the fruits of the Spirit, faith. And so now, I can keep that to myself. I can keep it all bottled up right in here. and not associate with anybody, but I'm going to become dull. But if like when we talk in the lunchroom, and I encourage you ladies to not only talk about other things that are going on, but also talk about scriptures from time to time. Bring up a particular scripture and ask the other ladies, the mothers in the church, what this means or what they've traditionally known to certain things that they mean. And by doing that, you're going to sharpen the countenance of your friend. That's what Brother Gary is mentioning here, that we all should share the burdens of life as Christians, and by sharing the faith that you have, and by sharing the faith that you have with me, it sharpens me. It encourages me to become a better person, to become a better Christian, to become a better child of God. We are children of God. But just as in my own family, children sometimes are disobedient. And there's no telling how many times that either I kept one of my sisters out of trouble or they kept me out of trouble because they rebuked me or encouraged me or corrected me and exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And something else, when we're a body, whenever I accidentally get a thorn or cut that part of my hand or some other part of my body, I immediately look at it. And I immediately, with another part of my body, try to cover it up, try to comfort it, try to heal it, or try to manage it in such a way that it's not in so much pain, so much discomfort. So, as the body, from time to time, as he said, we need to encourage one another to encourage one another, to be there for one another. And I'm not saying that we haven't been, but then again, there are times where I know that I haven't been. So, as he said, pray for us sinners, because Lord knows I need the prayers of those that I love. So, God bless you all, and be encouraged in Christ our Lord.